we're 1 month in. We're running out of Tomahawks. We're running out of interceptors for Pac-3, for Arrow 2, Arrow 3, and we're running out of our own Pac-3s. Thad missiles. Everything is running low. What are we going to do if we get into just a few months of this and we've exhausted all of our key assets and they haven't? Because you see that mountain. I mean, show it again. This is incredible. There's apparently, there are scores of these things scattered throughout the country, not just one or two. And if they have foreseen what we can do and they understood the power of our attacks and that they had a system in place to defeat that, then you can see that this war will be a war of attrition, and that does not play well with us, which is crazy on the surface of it, because you think it's as though someone you may have heard recently monotonously keep saying that the United States is the most powerful military in the world by far. Nobody else is even close in the history of the world, etc. And now you can see if this month stretches on to 3 or 4 months, maybe not even that, in some categories within another month, one more month, we could be into critical to the point where some aspects are out. And then now we have to start digging in the old stuff that has an even less capability to intercept stuff. And if the Iranians and the Hezbollah and the Khatib Hezbollah and the Yemenis, if they retain their ability to fire, you can understand we are going to be in a serious, serious problem. And that, of course, leads to desperation, which is why I'm concerned that we could be on this, on the cusp. Nothing happened over this night, but we could be on the cusp of saying, you know what, we have to try something on the ground. And in an ill-conceived, unresourced desperation that you didn't plan before, you have not had all the months of preparation, the logistics planning, the stockpiling, getting all the troops trained, equipped, making sure you've got enough of them, getting shortages filled, etc. All the things we have historically done before we engage in a large-scale operation, none of them have been done. And I fear that in desperation, because believe me, I ain't the only one doing this missile math that I just described to you. Obviously, the Iranian side did beforehand. The Houthis did beforehand. And now then they're playing their cards in a pretty carefully crafted way, and in a way that is really starting to be a problem for the United States. And we may take a bad decision out of desperation and go forward and try and do something that doesn't make any sense, that could make it enormously worse. If we go in on the ground, the chances of taking high casualties, because again, like all these other things, the Iranian side has foreseen all this and they have a plan to defeat it. They have a resource plan. They have foreseen all of these reactions that we've done, and they have had resource plans that up to this point have been very effective in countering us. Now, if you go in and you put infantrymen, especially light infantrymen or Marines on the ground, folks, they're going to suffer huge number of casualties, and the chances of them succeeding even tactically is very remote, and strategically or even operationally is off. There's just not any. The chances, in my view, don't even exist. And if we try that, that's going to be a real, real problem. Now, all of this is having an impact on the Iranian side, because they see this missile math. They see it going negative in our direction, and now they see the joining of the Houthis, Hezbollah, Khatib Hezbollah in Iraq. And they're feeling a little bit more cocky and confident. Here's the Iranian spokesman today showing just that.
تهران و فرماندهان ارتش آمریکا باید به خوبی درک کرده باشند که منطقه به گورستان سربازان آمریکایی تبدیل خواهد شد و راهی جز تسلیم در برابر اراده الهی مردم قهرمان و رزمندگان شجاع اسلام نخواهند داشت.
And listen, I mean, he's like, yeah, I mean, you can see that they're more confident now. Because they have by themselves already withstood everything we've thrown at them for nearly a full month now, and they are still completely viable. They took it in the face. They had a huge bloody nose. You may even say like the equivalent of a broken arm. They lost their supreme leader. They've lost a number of other senior officials, military and civilian, political. But they've weathered them all because, again, they had a plan which they articulated beforehand that they already had replacements to the even specified for the senior leader, a supreme leader. All these other folks, every one of them had been replaced. Ali Larijani, their national security advisor, he was taken out. He was replaced right away to validate that they had a plan. They were prepared for it. Psychologically, they understood it. And now that they're continuing to operate here. But here's the problem. I mean, there's a couple of things I keep talking to you about some of these ticking clocks for the United States. You now have the math clock. I just had the interceptors and the offensive missiles. All of that is now a problem. And then there's this one here that keeps on its own, and it's now ticking up. This is a Brent, the price of oil here. This was as of the close of business yesterday. Was sitting at 106. So I keep telling you that's going up, and that is causing President Trump no shortage of anxiety. And now that's starting to play out that way, because that with the price of oil going up also goes with the price of gasoline. And that's going to make all these odd statements about how we're, you know, knocking everybody out and how we're on the way to victory and all this kind of stuff that keeps happening that Trump keeps talking about. We've got some more to show you that in the intelligence brief, by the way, that's coming up here in about 40 minutes, 35 minutes, sorry. Don't miss that. That's one of our now more popular shows that we have, and we've got a lot of the best of what we learned this week and also some new stuff. You're going to see what President Trump and Secretary of State Rubio had to say about this, which is directly related to this. But that's one set of clocks. But there is another one that's going on, and that is in food. Because the global food supply is facing a dangerous bottleneck. And according to the WTO director general, said that the conflict had destabilized trade in energy, fertilizer, and food at a time when governments were already struggling with geopolitical and trade tensions, as well as climate pressures. It's no secret that the world trading system is experiencing the worst disruption in the past 80 years. And as we've mentioned several times, it's not just the oil coming out of the Strait of Hormuz. It's the big problem. It's also the natural gas and the feedstocks for fertilizer and several other things that are needed throughout the world. Those things are already causing very real political problems, geographic problems in different parts of the country, and agricultural problems. Because now then there's a delay already in the planting season, or things that are planted, they're going to need these kinds of feedstocks for fertilizers so that they get the right product out, the right amount of food grown. If you don't have a lot of these, then it's going to stunt the crop itself. It won't produce as much. And so you see, these are compounding. This is that even after you get some of this going, if you get this war concluded, even in the near term, there's going to be a problem, because some of these things are the prices are already locked in that you're going to have to pay later on because of the disruption itself. But if you don't get that turned into, you see, this is going to go to potentially a food crisis, not just an economic crisis, not just the price of a barrel of oil and all the things that go along with that, diesel, et cetera, because everything, certainly in the United States and most of Europe and many countries, runs on diesel fuel with these big trucks and some of these trains, et cetera. All of this is starting to be factored in. It's going to cause problems for everybody, not just those here. And it's going to get harder for officials in the United States to keep saying that everything's fine and don't worry about it. We're on the right track. We're about to beat them. They're all but defeated. They're begging me for a negotiated deal. You see at the face what's going on the ground. Nobody's begging the United States or Israel for any kind of a deal. They continue to strike. They continue to hit. There was a big strike in America on an American base yesterday at Prince Sultan Air Base. And we had at least one KC-135 tanker was destroyed, according to satellite imagery. At least one report said 12 Americans were wounded in that one strike alone. And by the way, the current statistics officially from one source I found said that 15 Americans were KIA. That's two higher than it was. I hadn't been able to track down where those two additional ones came from, but now 328 total wounded in action. That number keeps going up too. And that's going to start to cause some domestic political problems here in the United States. Ergo, one more pressure point on the president if we don't get this knocked out really quick. And so far we're not getting that done, but if you don't get the oil, the food, the fertilizer, the natural gas problems open up pretty soon, then the pressures will just mount from all over the world on the United States and Israel to bring this to an end, because most people recognize that this was a war of choice. It should never have happened. There was no imminent threat at all. And even though President Trump last night bragged on himself about how he had saved the world, as he put it, from this intransigent Iran, most of the world doesn't see it that way. In fact, very few people actually see it that way. And they see all these problems that I just described to you. None of them existed prior to us choosing to start this conflict that by all rights, nobody thought there was even any kind of a need for. So it's annoyance right now, but that's going to start changing if it starts really costing even our allies here. Now, one last thing I want to talk to you about, because I've mentioned several times that I'm concerned that President Trump maybe not just that, you know, he's hyperbolic and he makes a lot of claims or he lies about things just to make things sound good, but that there's some concern that he also has some cognitive problems. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say it in a pejorative manner. I just say, hey, there could be a real problem here. And there was one comment that he made at a speech last night that wasn't even related to the war, but is indicative that there actually is a problem. He's going to describe here a conversation he had with the owner of Toyota, a man he called Mr. Toyota, about a $10 billion deal that he said he agreed to with President Trump. Watch this.
I met Mr. Toyota in Japan. I said, what's your name? He's about 92 years old. Sharp as a tack. What's your name? Toyota. I said, you're rich. I said, do you have anything to do with automobiles? Yes. What do you have to do with Toyota? I own it. And I said, well, do you want to make an investment? Yes, we're going to spend $10 billion, spending $10 billion right now on building 5 plants. Everybody is. They're all coming into America. We're going to be hotter than we were.
Okay, see, the thing about that is he's conflating three different things. He's talking in his mind, and you can see the wheels turning there. He's talking about like that was one exchange, that was one situation. But he's actually conflating things that happened on three separate occasions, expanded over nearly 7 years of time. First of all, Mr. Toyota, as he calls him, died 3 years ago. So there was nothing, even in this administration, he was not talking to anybody there. The current CEO is 65 years old, and his name is not Toyota, as I understand. So he wasn't talking about that. He definitely is not 92 years old. So you're like, wait, what are you talking about there? Because this $10 billion figure is something that was from last year. But then even this is last year. This is October of last year. Toyota said it did not explicitly promise Trump that there would be a $10 billion investment in the United States. This is Toyota now. This is a public statement. Of course, it's been out there for a while. President Trump is talking last night like it's a done deal, and they have. He said that past tense, they have invested $10 billion. They're going to build plants in America, et cetera. Well, Toyota's saying, yeah, we didn't agree to that. So the meeting that he did have, by the way, with Mr. Toyota came in 2019 in his first administration. So he's talking about one thing from 6-7 years ago, and then he's talking about something else that happened last year, and he's talking about all of it like it just happened, and there's some kind of performance on the ground that's actually coming into reality, and it's not. So is this an intentional lie or not? I don't get the feeling that it is. This is an anecdote. I get it. But along with a lot of other things, and we'll talk about that in the intelligence brief coming up on some other topics that do have to do with this war. But when you see him say stuff like that with sincerity, especially on something that's not a forced issue, that's not like where you're just trying to put a good face on something for a war effort. That's just something he's kind of recollecting is kind of just as musing as thoughts come into his head, but he's putting them all together like they're one event. And I'm not sure that he was even consciously aware that these things were spread out over time or that Mr. Toyota died 3 years ago. That's a problem. Because if that's the guy that's making the decisions on sending American troops into a war on the ground that they can't win, has already sent us into a war that militarily he has set objectives that can't be attained at a reasonable cost or a reasonable time frame, that's a problem all by itself. We'll get into more of that, folks. Appreciate you on this quick war update. We will be back with you in about 30 minutes to do the deep dive intel briefing, and we will see you then.